From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 17th day of October 2012. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzlow. He's a global commodity analytics and consulting in Lafayette, Indiana. And a bit later in the program, we'll look at the cash grain market with the folks at the Anderson's Climbers facility in Logansport, Indiana. Along the way today, we'll hear from Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated, and I'll ask you to dial in your financial support for the ag programming that comes to you from Illinois Public Media. Why? Well, because it's public radio for the farming world.
Support for WILL Agricultural Reports comes from Country Financial. Information on federal crop insurance programs for next year is available now from your Country Financial representative or crop specialist. Country Financial is an equal opportunity provider.
Let's check the numbers as they settled up in Chicago on this Wednesday afternoon. Futures finished the day like this. The nearby contracts for the soft red winter wheat: December at $8.56 and a quarter, up 8.5 cents. The March at $8.68 and three quarters, up 8.5 as well. And next year's July, 4 cents higher at $8.36 and three quarters. The hard red at $8.69 and a half, down 0.75 cents. December corn futures at $7.46, up 7 and three quarters. These are closes and not settlement prices. The March at $7.45, up 6 and three quarters, and the May at $7.38, up 5 and a quarter. July at $7.31 and a half, up 5 and three quarters as they finished out the day. September corn at $6.51 and three quarters for next year, up 2, and December contract of 2013 at $6.23 and a quarter, unchanged. A close, of course, means the settlement price may be different as we get to those. November contract, and these are settlement prices for the soybeans: $15.09 and a quarter, up 15 and a half. January at $15.08 and a quarter, 15 and a half higher, and the March at $14.84 and a quarter, up 15 and a half cents. May soybeans $14.45 and a quarter, 12 and a half higher. In July, $14.34 and three quarters, settlement price up 10 and three quarters. Next year's November at $13.36 and a half, 8 and a half cents higher on the day. Bean meal futures at $4.54.70, up $1.90. Bean oil at $51.09, that's 59 cents higher. Live cattle futures December contract $127.60, 92 and a half cents higher. February is there at $131, 12 and a half, up 70. November feeders at $149, 27 and a half for 100 pounds. A settlement price of $1.55 higher. January, up $1, 12 and a half at $150, 72 and a half. And the lean hogs to finish the December contract at $79 and 17 and a half cents. That's 57 and a half cents higher. February at $84, 97 and a half, up 55. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It comes to you from Illinois Public Media. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures trading in November at $91.99 a barrel. That's a dime lower. November ethanol or November gasoline on the wholesale price for the RBOB at 277.8. That's down 6 6/10 cents. Now the November ethanol, 239.4, a penny and 9 cents higher. The spread is 38 4/10 cents. It keeps getting narrower, down 8 1/2 cents for the afternoon. Natural gas at 346.8. That's up 0.3 cents, or rather up 3 1/10 cents. And the heating oil or diesel fuel at $3.19 1/10 cents, just about 0.7 cents lower for the day. November gold futures at $1,752 even, up $6.70 on their settlement price. And the U.S. dollar on the day down 0.39 at 79.01. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area yet this afternoon. Showers, possibly a thunderstorm or two this afternoon. And we'll have a high of 71 degrees. It'll be breezy with a south wind at about 24 miles an hour, gusting all the way to 32. The chance of precipitation set at 80%. Tonight, occasional showers, a few thunderstorms before 1 a.m. A low of 41 degrees. It should be breezy on a south wind at 20 miles an hour. Chance of precipitation this evening in the area, 90%. And then tomorrow, 20% chance of showers after 1 in the afternoon. Increasing clouds, a high of 57. It will be breezy again, 16 to 20 miles an hour out of the southwest. And then tomorrow evening, 50% chance of showers. Cloudy, a low of 41 degrees on a southwest wind at 10 to 16 miles an hour. By the time we get to Friday, a 50% chance of showers continues. It'll be mostly cloudy and 52 with a west wind at 11 to 14. And Friday night, mostly cloudy, a low of 40 degrees. More on the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the half hour. You're listening to the Closing Market Report on this Wednesday afternoon. Let's check the agricultural futures markets. On the phone line with us today, in the stead of Jackie Vakes, is Mike Zuzulo. Thanks so much for filling in, Mike.
My pleasure, Todd. I hope the fund drive is going great.
You know, the fund drive is going great. I haven't mentioned it yet in this half hour other than when we started out, but if people are ready, they can dial in now at 217-244-9455. When you do, make sure you mention two of three things. How about that? One, you're supporting ag, and two, either deer or case. We've got a couple of 1/16-inch scale models. You can see them on our website at willag.org, and then you can just make the pledge by hitting that big red button in the right-hand side of the corner of the page if you want. And they're really nice tractors. They come in, you know, if you look at toy tractors, they're at that $80, $90 level, something like that, and you can get in the drawing. You don't have to give. If you want to be in the drawing, you can just dial the number, but we sure would like you to give, too. 217-244-9455. Okay, Mike. Let's take up what happened in Chicago today. What was the big driver in the marketplace?
Well, before the late session rally, it seemed to be the biggest excitement was the Merck buying out the Kansas City Board of Trade. Yeah. But, you know, fortunately, we had a really nice technical close for the grains. We got above 1504 in the November beans on a closing basis. We have tried that, I think, three or four times since we fell below it after the report, Todd. So I was really nervous that if we would have tried the 1503.5 level earlier today, we went above that again one more time. And if we would have fallen back below it, I think it would have rushed another sell, tripped another sell wire by some of the quant funds and some of the high-frequency traders. In addition to that, we had the wheat-led rally resume. And I have been sitting here thinking about Kansas, talking to my Kansas producers, telling me that they have the worst crop than last year, and indeed the Kansas good-to-excellent numbers from USDA do point that out, 42% good-to-excellent, 1 point below last year. Clients in western Kansas or west of I-35 would say it's a lot worse than that. And so we finally got the wheat back on board with us, and the fundamentals came back in on the weather side for wheat, and that allowed corn to get back above 745. I think in addition to that, I think it was really nice to see cotton limit up and at a four-month high, and also hogs continued their rally against what I thought was fundamentally justified, but now they're back to three-month high. So it seemed as though instead of seeing a commodity-wide liquidation by funds, we saw commodity-wide short covering.
Hey, can you come back to the CME buying the KCBOT?
Sure.
Because this one, unlike when the Mercantile Exchange bought the Chicago Board of Trade, which was in the billions of dollars, this one's in the millions of dollars, so it's not nearly as big a deal. But it is kind of a battle between ICE, which is the Atlanta-based exchange, which hasn't really taken off and that we don't report numbers on, and with the CME Group in Chicago.
No, and I think this is where you probably, if you're not paying attention to the merger and acquisition page of some of the financial papers, just this morning it was announced by
right.
the media and the financial markets that ICE was pairing up with the Market Group on futures contracts. So we are under another round of consolidation, and I think it's important to note that we will see, you know, more large-scale firms and fewer independent firms, and we'll have to be very, very cognizant of that going forward, and I don't know whether that's going to increase computerized trading or hopefully bring in more of a broad swath of the style and type of trading. From my take, the mechanical type trading and the black box, dark pool type trading, we've got plenty of that. We don't need any more of that at this point. But you're right. We are at a level now with the price of what they purchased at that it was a good deal, it looked like to me,
yeah.
Because that's a heck of a good hub, given our export market is almost all, you know, hard red wheat at this point.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting. Will it change the dynamics in Chicago for the soft red winter wheat at all? It rather, relatively speaking, by default, is the world trade anyway.
Yeah, it is.
And I don't know whether that'll allow the CME Group to take Chicago from soft red or add a world world price market or something else, and I suppose that's all speculation anyway. That's a good word to use today. And
yeah, well, I think one thing is the margins. I mean, we did get the agreement, I think, in the mid to late 80s where the spread, the intercommodity spreading between hard and soft wheat was activated, so you didn't have to pay double margin. And that was a good thing for the wheat trade. I don't know how the margins are going to work out. That's what I'm going to be watching most closely to see if this acquisition and consolidation improves margins, because I would think it would. I mean, if you get to that type of scale, you would think margins would go down. And again, my take on the market right now is margins are way, way too high for the hedger at this point. And some would say, yes, you're at record high prices. It's still the same percentage of fee that you're talking about to margin that crop. But to me, it's about nominal dollars, and that's what it is. I think that's what it's about to the hedger, too, as far as getting less options in place and more futures in place. And I think that's one of the things that we all in the commodity industry try and strive for, is to do less options because of their poor performance historically with speculation or near-term trading, and we want to do more futures. But sometimes the margins just don't allow because the risk reward's not there.
Yeah, and then you've got the black box trading that chases
exactly.
you around. Exactly, anyway.
You're stopped out, and you're having to get back in, and you know, so all this is intertwined. And I hope at some point this consolidation brings more normalcy back to the hedger and the true risk manager as we go forward here.
It'll be interesting to watch. Come back to the trade for the day. Tell me about soybeans, because they were up 15 cents, 15 and a half, in fact, in the November contract.
They were, and I think this is where it goes back to the cotton and the hogs and the fun short covering, and I think beans fell into a smoother transition than they had been this earlier this week because the markets around them were turning around. Could it be the U.S. dollar at one-month lows? Yeah, probably that helped. Could it be bond money moving out of treasuries? The treasuries are breaking very hard, and fixed income money is probably being pulled out of bonds at this stage, and the fact that the S&P 500 is only about 20 points away from its four-year high it made last month. I think all these things help. I think one thing will be interesting to hear is Drew's comments about Center West Brazil and Mato Grosso. The key areas that drive production in that province, as I've been tracking them with the private people I work with, it just hasn't been there as far as rainfall totals and coverage. And now we've peaked at this point, and the bias is now drier in the 6 to 10 day weather. So I'm inclined to think, Todd, because the outside markets got off of us, we were able to go back and trade Southern Plains weather for the wheat, and we were able to trade Brazilian bean weather, whereas earlier this week, no one wanted to talk about that because of this pressure to the outside and the funds.
Hey, on that, thank you so much, and we'll talk with you again on Friday afternoon.
You betcha. Thanks, sir.
Mm-hmm. That is Mike Zuzulo. He's with Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting in Lafayette, Indiana. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report. Happens each and every Wednesday afternoon. Well, actually, we talk to him on Friday afternoons and Jackie on Wednesday afternoon.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit of Illinois, offering financial products and services specifically for the agriculture industry, including farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing, as well as farm cash management solutions.
Okay, now you've listened to Mike Zuzulo, and it is time.
Boy, that's dramatic.
Well, we're looking for some dramatic things this
we
afternoon,
are.
Les Schulte. Hey, so Les and I are going to have a little fun, and well, at least it's Herb Alpert, which is who I use on Wednesdays anyway, but Al Toro.
Well, that, I guess we better get things started here then.
Well, we need to get things started, and we can do that because a few times in the year we come to you from willag.org and from Illinois Public Media, and we ask you to decide that it's worthwhile, mm-hmm. that this service, the ag programming that you listen to, is something you're willing to pay in part for. About 40% of the operating budget of our home station comes from you, the listeners. So from your perspective, not quite that much probably for ag, but a lot of the ag money comes from you, the listeners, and it really makes a big difference when you help us out. And Les Schulte is here to tell us about some challenges and some things that are happening that you can get in on right now.
Yep, get in on it right now. The number to call is 217-244-9455 to show your support for this public radio station and the agricultural services that you receive from WILL. And if you call right now, Strategic Farm Marketing, a great friend of WILL and our ag services, they are going to add $500 to our pledge total when we hear from 25 others who make pledges and mention agriculture as one of the services they really appreciate on this station. We've heard from 15 so far. That means, if my math doesn't fail me, that's 10 to go. So we need 10 calls right now. 217-244-9455. Show your support for WILL and our agricultural programming and make your pledge of support. We invest a lot of time and a lot of resources into our agricultural programs, Todd, as you know. And so maybe we're asking you as a user of the service to invest, let's say, $10 a month. Make a $10 a month investment in this radio station, in these agricultural services, and make a $120 a year pledge. You can put that on your credit card. We accept Visa, MasterCard, Discover, or American Express. Call 217-244-9455, or if you'd rather make your contribution online, just call, just go to willpledge.org.
And if you're used to going to willag.org, there's a big red button up in the right-hand side of the corner of the page.
We got it covered.
We've
thought of everything.
Oh, dude, it says donate. right there. So anyway, however you do it, make sure you do. And there are a couple of other things, because we're in the middle of tractor wars, too. Did you see the tractors, Les?
I did see the tractors. Yeah. And as I mentioned earlier this morning, these are not the tractors I played with in the sandbox when I was six or seven, which were my pride and joys, by the way.
Yeah, you can give them for Christmas. You really can, but they probably look really good on the shelf, too.
Oh, yeah. These are really super. If you're a deer fan, say the secret word, deer.
When you pledge.
Or when, you know, you don't have to pledge.
But
we really hope that you take this opportunity when you call in, you know, and make that pledge of support. Or if you're an IH Case fan, say Case, and we'll put you in for that drawing. To win one of these, there's what, a 16th scale?
They're 1/16th, yep. They're 1/16th. If you want to see them, they're up on the website, a little video there. Dave Dickey tells you all about them. Just hit play and you can see them, but they're 1/16th inch scale. So when you call in at 217-244-9455 and MasterCard, Visa, Discover, American Express, tell them you're going to give however you're going to give. Write a check. $120 is what we like. More is fantastic. Less is beautiful. But when you do it, make sure you tell them a couple of things. Ag, to begin with, and then either say deer or case, depending on which drawing you want to be in on. So you can be in on one or the other. But when you call in, the code word is deer or case.
Or case. It's that simple. And we need 10 more pledges who will mention ag. They should say mention ag so they can put that little note in the notes column, and we can count you towards this challenge we have going on from Strategic Farm Marketing to add that additional $500 to our pledge total.
Oh, our thanks to the folks at Strategic Farm Marketing and to you, too, for making sure that you dial in now. Let's see. On the phone line to take up the agricultural cash grain market with us for Wednesday afternoon is Ben Stoller. He's at the Anderson's Climbers facility. That's in Logansport, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Ben.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Hey, Ben, I've been tracking the spread between crude oil and ethanol, and the folks here in the Ag Econ Department and the College of ACES tell me that's a good way to figure out whether you at the Andersons and any other ethanol plant, for that matter, are doing well or not doing so well. And the spread keeps narrowing at this time. Does that mean you're getting squeezed a little bit?
You know, that's certainly something to watch. I mean, there definitely are a number of factors with, you know, distillers and corn oil as well. Those are both byproducts that we are selling. But, you know, margins are not great, and it's especially challenging now as basis is firming. We're getting out of the glut of harvest. Corn is in the bin, and it's certainly challenging to get producers to move it out.
Yeah. So what have you been doing to move it out? Have you been tightening up your basis bids?
You know, we have been tightening basis. We just yesterday went to 30 over the December. We're doing a pretty cheap drying and just, you know, really working with producers on DP rates and just really anything to get them to move it our way.
Do you think you can get them loosened up? Usually it's pretty hard to open the bin door once it's closed.
Yeah, certainly seems to be challenging. I think most of producers right now are really the corn they have the men are not wanting to move it unless they can get $8 for it.
Soybean processors, you're in your area hunting beans as well?
Soybean basis has been firm. It seems like it's going to be firming up here. I think it's, you know, largely a similar case. On the soybean future side, we've lost close to $3, certainly in the cash price in the past 6 weeks. So we're definitely going to have to pay up on the basis as well.
I suspect corn's pretty close to being done. How close are you on soybean?
Oh, I would say we are probably 80 to 90% down on soybeans as well. Really, I think we're just here at the tail end of harvesting corn and beans both.
All right. And your bids for the day are?
Delphi corn, 761. Climbers corn, 766. Excuse me, 776. And Delphi beans, 1479.
Hey, thank you so much.
Thank you.
That's Ben Stoller. He's with the Andersons Climbersville facility. And they join us here on Wednesday afternoons to talk about the cash grain market.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com. From Urbana, deep in corn country, it's the game show of the stars, Password Agriculture. And here is the star of the show, Dave Dickey.
Okay, you know how to do this. Let's get started. Our contestant is Craig Cohen. Let's see how you do.
The password is deer.
Let me start you out with this. Tractor.
Combine.
Okay, let's try this one. Whitetail.
Deer.
Great, you are on a roll. Let's do one more.
The password is case.
Here we go. Brief.
Fleeting.
One more try. Lawyer.
Case.
And here is what you win. A chance to get in a drawing for either a John Deere 7730 or Case IH Magnum 315 toy tractor. And everyone listening can get into the drawing, too. Go to your phone right now and call 217-244-9455 and mention either Deere or Case to be entered into the drawing. That's 217-244-9455. And while on the phone, why not take the opportunity to make a pledge in support of WILL and the Agricultural Services. Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333. Support for today's broadcast comes from ADM, now providing a new mobile site, FarmerView, for up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids. Available at ADM.com/FarmerView.
In just a couple minutes, I'll be back. We'll talk about the agricultural weather forecast. Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated will be with us. Just a reminder that if you're interested in hearing our program, you can find it anytime you'd like on our website at willag.org. That's willag.org. On your smartphone at m.willag.org. Or if you're just looking for either the opening or closing numbers, that from the grain open outcry pit, that is, you can just dial this number, 217-333-3434. Oh, and don't forget to dial 217-244-9455 with your pledge of financial support, too. I'll be back in 2 minutes, and we'll talk with Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Auditory Care Center, an independent hearing care center serving Champaign, Piatt, Ford, Vermilion, and other East Central Illinois counties. Auditory Care Center offers hearing evaluations as well as selection, fitting, and repair of hearing aids at 892-5959 in Rantoul.
It's National Pasta Day. It's also St. Richard Gwen Day, patron of large families. On this day in agricultural history in 1885, Sir Henry Bessemer, a British inventor, received a patent for making steel by blasting compressed air through molten iron to remove impurities and excess carbon. The process made it possible to mass-produce steel inexpensively. In 1886, Ernest Goodpaster was born, a research scientist. He discovered the first practical method for developing uncontaminated viruses in chick embryos, which made the mass production of vaccines possible for smallpox, influenza, yellow fever, and typhus. And in 2006, the U.S. population reached 300 million people. By the way, the U.S. population more than tripled during the 20th century, from about 76 million in 1900 to 281 million in 2000. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from these business partners: Strategic Farm Marketing, Champaign; KC Summers, Mattoon; and Jarman Center, Tuscola. These business partners join the Friends of WILL in making great programs possible. Thank you.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on this Wednesday afternoon. Please do dial in at 217-244-9455 with your pledge of financial support. If you're listening online, willag.org, and then look up in the upper right-hand corner. Drew Lerner now on the phone line with us to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast. Hi, Drew. How are you today?
I'm doing well. I hope you're doing the same.
I am doing really well. I had a note from one of our analysts in Iowa that said that they thought they might be getting a little rain today, at least enough to settle the dust down. Can you tell me more about that, please?
Certainly. There's a little drizzle and light rain falling right now across portions of the state. We'll likely see that continuing as we go through the next 12 hours or so. This storm system, though, is going to be a little bit different animal. It's going to be split into two pieces. It's going to become what we call an occluded frontal system. So there's going to be a deep upper-level low-pressure system over the upper parts of the Midwest, and then a rather significant cold front that will arc around the system. And it's the frontal boundary that's passing through Iowa this afternoon that's likely to go ahead and produce additional showers and some thunderstorms. The system will actually intensify, the frontal boundary that is, as it moves eastward. So portions of Illinois, Indiana, western portions of Michigan, southeastern Wisconsin will probably see the best rainfall out of this event. But as the front goes from west to east across Iowa, we'll see an increase in rainfall there. Totals in Illinois, Indiana, some of the immediate neighboring areas there will probably run a good quarter to three quarters of an inch, with some local totals getting up around or slightly over 1 inch. So we will be putting down enough moisture in some of these areas to keep us out of the fields for a little while longer. Now, the upper level low, which is going to be anchored over the upper Mississippi River Basin over the next two or three days, will spin around up there all that time, and we'll be sending waves of drizzle and light rain showers across much of the Midwest, really from the Dakotas and Minnesota down through Iowa and into portions of Missouri and Indiana, Illinois, Indiana, even Ohio and Michigan eventually. So we're going to be looking at a lot of cloudiness between now and Sunday morning, and showers will be scattering about. So we're not expecting a lot of field work to take place here during this period of time.
Will it be warmer or cooler than normal over that period?
Well, we will start off slightly warmer than normal in the eastern Midwest today, but after that I think we'll be cooling these temperatures down to slightly below average. The coolest pool of air will actually be underneath the upper level low in the eastern Dakotas, portions of Minnesota, maybe northwestern Iowa, in western Wisconsin. I think the rest of the region will probably cool down just for a brief day or two, just a tad bit below average, mostly near normal, and then we'll turn right around and start warming back up again towards the early part of next week.
South we go to Argentina and Brazil, please.
A lot of rain coming up for Argentina and for the southern parts of Brazil and southern Paraguay. That little area there will probably end up with several inches of rainfall by the time we get to Tuesday of next week. Precipitation won't be all that great over the next two or three days, but it will be pretty impressive over the weekend and Monday. The rest of Brazil is looking at a somewhat erratic rainfall for a while. We're not getting a lot of precipitation in the north, but enough to go ahead and support that planting process. But we are going to have to see an increase in precipitation as we finish out this month, just to make sure we don't run into a little dryness down the road.
Thanks so much, Drew.
Have a great day.
You too. Drew Lerner is with World Weather Incorporated. Hey, if you're dialing in still, 217-244-9455 with your pledge of financial support for the ag programming here at willag.org. Don't forget to tell them agriculture and one of the two code words if you want to be in the drawing for those two toy tractors, either Deer or Case, depending on which one you'd like to win. It's all part of the service at willag.org. And, well, you're part of our service. Thanks so much for pledging. I'm Todd Gleason.